I want to thank all those that shared. What a precious time around the Lord again. How undeserving, but how magnificent. Our brother Grant mentioned the new covenant. I want to talk about it for a bit this morning. Before I do, I was just wondering, could we have a piano player? And everybody get up and we'll sing number 414 just for change of position. In the Red Book, number 414, Complete in Thee. I just had to think of that song with what we all thought about. Seated. Thank you for playing that. I would like to this morning, I'm going to read a passage where the first or new covenant is first kind of mentioned. It might be mentioned not in exact words, but other ways. And I'd like to, from there, just give a brief overview of the new covenant, its start and its fulfillment and end, and how we fit in here. So there's a bit of doctrine involved. It comes to become personal in the end. I'm covering a lot of areas, so I'm referring to a lot of scriptures to make this go faster. But I'm going to read a portion of scripture, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27 to 40. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. And here at this time, Israel had dropped into tremendous disarray. They were totally, God was ready to cast them away and to level Jerusalem, to make it simply a plowed field. But he gives this in light of this background. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. It shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build up and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waters thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go yet forth over against it upon the hill Garab, and shall compass about unto Goath. And the whole valley of dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook Kidron and unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. What a word to say in the light of complete destruction of that city. The Lord is an amazing God. When he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he took them by the hand, he said, and he brought them to Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, he made a conditional covenant with them. If you do this, 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 blessing, just going to pour out of every pore of your being and your properties. But if you don't, trouble. They couldn't keep it. God knew it. And here, as the object lesson unveiled, and they broke that covenant, and God was ready to remove them out of his sight, he gives this prophetic quote here in Jeremiah. And he says, you know what? The old didn't work. In Jeremiah chapter 22 or 23, it's a beautiful chapter. And there he says, you know what, guys, Israel? Your shepherds, your pastors, your kings scattered you and destroyed you. I'm going to fix a problem someday. I'm going to send my own king, my own shepherd, my own pastor. And yous are going to be scattered into every country of the world. And this new, or my king and pastor and shepherd is going to gather you back into your land someday. You're going to be gathered back in unbelief. But I'm going to turn the heat on you. And that is what we call the Great Tribulation. And it says after that Great Tribulation in Zechariah that only about a third of the nation will come through. But they're going to be genuine. Absolutely true. And he's going to keep the promises that he has not been able to fulfill completely with the nation of Israel. He's going to keep them with that purified remnant. And that is the complete fulfillment of this prophecy. He's going to still keep his word. In the meantime, after this prophecy, God did send his king, his shepherd, his pastor. He did come. Israel did reject him and did crucify him. And he did rise from the dead. He did complete the work the Lord gave, or God the Father gave him to do at that time. And he ascended into heaven. And he gave the promise to the disciples. I'm going to do a brand new thing here. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down. And whosoever will of Jew and Gentile that wants to come to me, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If they believe on me, the Holy Spirit will indwell them. Here we see a partial fulfillment of this promise. God has not completely fulfilled it yet. He will someday in the future with the Jewish nation. But here today is a partial fulfillment because of the rejection of Israel. God set them aside as a nation. He is dealing with whosoever will. And he gives us his Holy Spirit in our very being. That is writing his law in our hearts. It gives us strength. It gives us his presence and knowledge to walk in his ways. And I'm just going to, with that background, it's been extremely brief. I've not had very much scripture in it. Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Zechariah, and other prophets talk about this if you put it all together. But in the few minutes I've left, I just want to mention some of the differences between the old Jewish covenant, if you want to say, and the new. And may it rejoice our hearts, the presence of God with us forever, available to us. Oh, what a precious truth. The old covenant. Maybe I'll read this, take time to read this yet. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to the end of 22. I read it earlier. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. First of all, the old covenant, it had a wall around it. The presence of God had a wall around it. The priests were outside that wall. Ho, ho, you can't come close to here. There was one entrance, and if you brought a sacrifice, an innocent lamb, you could bring that to the door of the tabernacle and have it slain. But that's the first thing. There was a wall around it. We could not enter into the presence of the Lord. They brought that innocent animal, and it could not take away the sin. The people left the same as what they came. There was no change in their hearts. There was no removing of their sins. They could not take that blood into the presence of God himself. The priest, someone else had to do it. And yeah, there was no strength in it to live the demands of God's holiness and justice. It was only a picture. Those are a few of the things that the old covenant only is. What about the new covenant? I love the way this starts off. Let us have boldness to come into the very holiest. What a change. You can come to the presence of God with assurance, with confidence. The sacrifice is accepted. Verse 12 tells us that in Hebrews chapter 10. We can come with boldness and we can enter the holiest of all. That speaks of intimacy, that we are intimate with God. He allows us, that's in verse 14 of Hebrews 10, he allows us to come right into his very immediate presence. He's intimate with us. The old covenant was not like that. By the blood of Jesus, though. And that totally shows us the other side of the coin when we come to God. We cannot come flippantly. We can come boldly and with assurance, but we need to remember the holiness of God. By the blood of Jesus, it sets the stage. We are approaching holiness. It's not on our own that we're coming. It's by the value and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that holiness is a terror and a dread. But then holding the blood, as it were, in our hands to approach to God, that's the other side of the coin. Verse 22 and 17 of Hebrews 10, it's the other side, that his death, he loved us that much, that calms our fears. Though we're coming to a holy God, we remember we've been loved, and we rejoice in that love and rest in that love. We have gratitude and worship toward God because of that sacrifice and love as we come. And as we come in those attitude and realization with the blood of Christ, it is then that we can come with confidence and bring our needs. We all have needs every day, and we can bring them. And you know, we can bring big needs and little needs. There's many verses in the Bible that says nothing's too small and nothing's too big. And here, I just have a little story. Oh dear. I'm going to say this story because I think it might bless your hearts and then just race through the rest. I was working in my shop a couple years ago. It was getting supper time. I had let the fire in the furnace go down. It was getting quite cool in the shop because I was going to be leaving. I was working on the combine, and underneath the combine, it was pretty well pitch black. And I had really wanted to put this one thing together yet. It was a small round thing I had to put in place. And if it didn't slip out of my hands, drop on the floor, and I knew that thing would roll. And I just said, oh, Lord, I'm cold. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'll never find that. Help me to find that. At that instant, a cat from the other side of the shop jumped up and ran after that thing and sat down by it until I went and picked it up. God cares about everything. Be with him all the time. Share everything with him. And then, for time's sake, I'm going to rush through here. He is our life. He reminds us of the hope that we have in the future. He was dead and is alive. And we can have peace because of of our present situation, because he's absolute victor. Verse 23 and 13 of Hebrews. Verse 24, it tells us we're to provoke one another and to gather together. So much the more as the day is coming, and we're to edify each other. In verse 25, in verse 26 to 31, is a warning for those that reject God's word, a dreadful warning. In verse 32 to 37, we're to be patient and keep on trusting the Lord, because he is faithful that promised. In verse 38, we're reminded it's a life of faith in God, step by step. And in verse 39, God keeps his own. I trust that we will rejoice realizing this new covenant we've remembered this morning, that the Lord Jesus opened this way. He's with you every minute. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can ask him to remove a fly or a mountain, whatever you wish. He'll do what's best. Rob?
Well, thank you, Dad. What a blessing it's been to be together. And